welcome to another edition of the Infinite Loopcast. I'm Dave, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Hello.
Hello. Aaron, it's been... Did we do a show last week? I'm never good at keeping track of
these. Yes,
we did do a show. So it's only been a week since dear listeners heard our dulcet tones.
Yes.
Have you had a good week?
It's been a bit spotty. I've played a lot of my normal games. So, you know, Elite and Minecraft and stuff like that.
Yes, I haven't been on Staxel with you, I don't think, this week.
No, the server was down today. I tried to go on today, and
okay.
The server was down because of something. So I've raised a ticket with the hosting company.
Right.
And we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah. Better come up with a good answer.
Yeah, basically it says there's an extra file there that shouldn't be there, but Staxel did get patched today or yesterday or something. There's a recent Staxel patch, so that might be it. It might just be that we need to get an update on the server.
Mm-hmm.
So they may just need to update that and get it working.
They better get crack-a-lackin'.
Yep, because I just happened to try and go on it today, but it died yesterday, so... But yeah, because I tried to play... Because you gave me a copy of Sexy Brutale. To play on my tablet, and it didn't play. Well, it did play, but it was all a bit laggy. And as part of the game seems to be hiding, I thought having laggy controls isn't going to help. I don't know how time sensitive it all is. Have you played it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, looks quite interesting. The little bit I did play, so I'll play on this gaming rig, and then it'll be play fine. So I just can't play.
Yeah,
on the tablet.
It's one of these games I was really excited to play, and I got it on Steam. Then I got a second copy on Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
And then it came out on Switch, and now I just need to get Xenoblade Chronicles 2 finished.
Yeah.
And then I can actually start playing other things on my Switch.
Right.
Before I embark on Zelda, which will probably kill off everything else.
Okay.
So, and that's on my Switch list.
Okay, because I've got Zelda on the Wii U, but I need to put the Wii U up here where I can play it, rather than being in the living room where I can't play it.
Why can't you play in the living room? Because the kids.
No. Well, A, kids, and B, the wife. There's only one TV in the living room, so I.
You're losing the TV war.
Yes, yeah, if she's in the
living
room.
Could you pump it onto the PSVR? Would that work? Could you...
No, because you can't pump anything into the PSVR apart from... I don't know, you might be able to.
Doesn't it accept video streams?
It does.
I thought it would accept anything as long as it's plugged into the HDMI socket on it.
Yeah, but I don't know how well it's going to work doing a 2D stream. It might work.
You know what your mission this week is, don't you?
Oh, I could have a go. Because what I could do is I could just plug a PC feed into there and see how it works.
I'm sure PSVR has been ripped on PC by now.
It has. There is a driver. Cool. I can't remember what it's called now. But yeah, there's a driver for PSVR on PC.
Okay.
It doesn't do positional. Well, last time I checked, it didn't do positional. So it does rotational tracking, but not positional tracking. So it's only 3 degrees of freedom.
Oh, that's annoying.
Maybe they'll get it to work, because the problem is that's all done by the camera. And things like that, so you have to get all that working.
Surely it can do it with the webcam.
I'm sure it can, but the problem is you've got to write then the software to recognise the different bits of the headset. And interpret what it's seeing. So it's got to do image recognition. I'm sure there's lots of clever people that could do that, but whether they are doing that, I don't know. Because obviously, it's a bit of... I don't know, there's a lot of PSVR headsets out there, so maybe somebody will do it, I don't know. But if you've got a PC that can do VR... I think the Oculus headset isn't that much more than the PlayStation headset. Isn't the Oculus headset down to about 300 at this stage? Or is it 400?
I think it's 399.
Okay, so it is a bit more. Because I think you can get PSVR headset.
I think it's 399. I could be wrong. It might be 350. I don't know why I'm debating this in my head.
Okay, well...
It might be 350.
Okay, so it's close-ish. So, if you want to... I guess if you've got both, maybe going for the PSVR, if you can get a decent driver for the PC, would make sense. Mm-hmm. You'd have a PC VR and a PlayStation VR. So you could have best of both worlds, if you can get it to work well enough. But given the choice, I'd go for Oculus, because you've got the touch controls for a start. Good thing about the price of the PlayStation VR is you get the VR headset quite cheap, then you've got to, if you haven't got the camera, you've got to buy that. You've got to buy the Move controllers, really, to actually have the full set. So you start bumping the price up when you start adding these extra bits on. Because I think the headset's only about $200-$250. But then you've got to buy, you know, the camera, the headset.
The headset and the controllers, right? Whereas the Rift comes with the controllers.
Yeah, and you've got to buy the camera separately for PSVR. I think you can buy bundles these days.
I was going to say, is there not a bundle now?
I think there are, but... but when I bought it, there wasn't so much. Because obviously I got it when it early came out. But yeah. Yeah, I haven't tried it because I've got a VR headset on the PC, so...
Are you tempted to get the new the Vive Pro?
No. It's silly money. It's ridiculous.
How much is it? $850 or something?
No, it's about $1,000. Because I don't have a Vive.
Okay.
It's about $800-$850 if you already have the Vive. Because that's just for the headset. It's not for the tracking. It's not for the controllers. That's just the headset, $800. If you want the other bits, it's, you know, it's about, I think it's over $1,000. Or $1,000 US, should I say. I don't know what it is in the UK. And that's just ridiculous when you can buy a whole Oculus setup for under $400. Paying $1,000 for a Vive Pro. Yeah, it's better resolution, but...
It's a wider field of view as well, no?
I believe so, but it's a lot of money. You know, you're paying, what, 2.5 times the price?
Mm.
And I prefer the touch controllers. Touch controllers just feel better. Although they've got those knuckles coming, haven't they? Vive.
Is that... I thought they were doing the hockey puck.
They're doing hockey puck for other things, but they've got the knuckles for hand controllers.
Oh, okay.
Hockey puck is something you attach to a thing.
You attach it to your legs, can't you?
Well, you attach it to anything. It's just an extra sensor. But the problem with that is, that's great, but how do you configure all that? How's a game going to say, take that into account? If I attach it to my legs, how many games
I guess
games
it's the opposite
gonna...
way around, though, right? It's the games expected to, or have the option for it to be there.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you where to attach it.
Yeah, I guess so. So if you've
like,
got...
If it's a shooting game, they'll tell you to attach it to, like, a long piece of cardboard.
Yes. Make yourself a gun that's about this shape and attach it here on the gun. Then we can expect where it is. Maybe they'll do like Labo. Print this on a bit of card.
That would be
cool,
wouldn't it?
And then attach the puck to it, and there you go. You've got a gun that is in VR.
Now you see, that would be cool. I quite like all this cardboard peripheral stuff.
It's okay if you've got a good source of decent cardboard. Obviously, the cardboard they supply is a good cardboard.
It's a fine piece of cardboard.
But if you're making your own out of a cornflakes packet, it's not going to be quite so good. Because what you need is a nice big flat cardboard.
Unless you use, like, the entire cornflakes box. Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you'd want to use the side of a cornflakes box rather than... Because obviously you don't want any of the pre-folded seams, unless you need a seam in that place. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit flimsy. What you really need is for there to be a big, you know, if you're working in an office that has supplies coming in regularly, and you can take a box out, you know, a cardboard box home, that'd be great. Or, you know, go down the... Because you used to be able to go down the supermarket and get a cardboard box, didn't you?
I think you still can't you?
It depends on the supermarket, I think.
You can definitely do it in Costco. With the whole paper bag, the plastic bag charge?
Yeah.
If they gave you a paper bag, they wouldn't have to charge you.
Yes. It's just plastic.
It's like ridiculous.
Cardboard boxes.
They
don't have to pay for cardboard
boxes.
Yeah,
why don't they just give us cardboard boxes?
Well, Sainsbury's near us does... Like Costco. You're saying Costco does...
Yeah, Costco you can.
Yeah. Sainsbury's... the big Sainsbury's does, but the little Sainsbury's doesn't, I think.
I think it's silly.
It's all down to the individual shop. But, yeah. It's all strange. But we're not used to paper bags.
Why?
People need to be educated on paper bags.
I'm used to paper bags. I'm not used to a paper bag.
Well, no, for groceries. If you put frozen...
just like on television from the yesteryears.
Yes, yeah, but you put some frozen stuff in a paper bag and it'll disintegrate by the time you get to the car.
Oh, it might do, but that's why you could line it with plastic.
Yeah, then you'd have to charge for it.
Unless the packaging from the stuff... I see.
Yeah. Any... Oh,
it's like they've thought of everything, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, because the problem is, obviously, if it gets wet, it's being... It depends how thick the paper or the cardboard is, I guess. if it's reasonably thick, then it'll take a while for it to disintegrate. But then it'll cost them quite a bit to make. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that's cardboard. Oh, I guess we...
Because we're talking about Labo, then we're talking about VR. I think that could actually be... But going back to the VR thing, I think it could be a really good... idea, right?
Yeah, because I remember the... Oh, what was it? Tearaway.
Yes.
On the Vita. You remember...
You could print out the papercraft things, couldn't you?
Yeah, if you took a picture of certain animals in the game, you could then print those out and make them yourself.
Yeah.
Because I did a couple.
Did you?
I did a couple of the deer. Because it was coming up for Christmas, so I did some deer for Christmas.
That's cool.
So that was quite fun.
Well, got swanky Christmas stuff, didn't they, this year? Papercraft deer.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished the re-release of that, you know, on
no,
the PlayStation.
I haven't. I don't know whether I even finished the first one. Oh no, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
it must have finished the first. It was beautiful. The trouble with the PS4 one is that it didn't compel me as much because it wasn't in a handheld format. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, the pressing on the back panel was great.
Yeah, the back panel, your fingers popping through.
Yeah.
The fact that it was portable was just really impressive.
Yeah, it made that game. It was great, but yeah, the version on the PS4 it seems great, but when you've already played the Vita version, it's not quite as good. Seems like a great game, but yeah, but they have reused a lot of the stuff from the first game. I think some of the levels are similar, aren't they? It's not the same, but similar.
I The difference was, I think the story of the story is the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this without necessarily giving spoilers. Yeah. But the actual story is different.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, so the overall story arc is the same, but the actual details of the story are different, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I understand it to be. So the message that it's trying to convey as well.
Yeah, but I think some of the assets are similar and the same, and some of the locations are the same.
Yeah, but I think it takes place in the same sort of world.
Yeah.
But obviously the starting zone is definitely very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Well, because you've got to have different puzzles anyway. Because
you've got to learn the new bits, right?
Yeah.
I need to get back to that. I need to get back to my PlayStation in general. It's just sort of sat gathering dust.
Yeah, I watch telly on it occasionally, but that's about all I am doing on it. Because I still haven't played Moss. I must play Moss.
Moss? Is that the mouse game on
the mouse
PSVR?
VR, yeah.
It's meant to be exceptional.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. But I had when I first got it, I had the sound problems, which I've now fixed.
Right.
But I haven't gone back to it. Because I want to go back to Elite Dangerous at some point, because I've not been playing much of that. So I haven't really... All the first quarter releases, I haven't really done much on those. So I want to go back and do some of that. But then, you know... It's
just time, isn't it?
It's just, fitting all these games in.
It's just ridiculous.
Yes, because Forgotten Anne was released today, and I was going to get it.
Was that out today?
Yeah. And I thought,
that did look good.
I really want to play that, but I just haven't got around to playing any of the stuff I bought recently.
Why is it not on Steam?
It is on Steam.
It's because I've misspelt Forgotten.
Yes, because it's Forgotten.
Yes.
Not
Forgotten.
Yeah, it's on ON. Yeah, it's been on Steam for a while. It's been on my wishlist for ages.
It's going on my wishlist now so I can track the price. Oh, it's 10% off.
Aaron.
Yeah. I've got £13.50 of Steam credit.
Ah, right, okay.
And Forgotten Anne, it's £13.94. Do I want to spend 44p on Forgotten Anne? Well, more to the point, is Forgotten Anne coming out on the Switch?
Ah, right, okay. I don't know. I don't think they have anything confirmed. I think they want to, if they can.
A Forgotten Anne Switch port could be on the horizon.
Yes, yeah.
Forgotten Anne might come to the Switch.
I think they want to, but there's no firm port. They want to get this version out now, get that settled, and then see about porting it to the Switch.
Aaron, I will donate this to the show.
Oh, okay.
You can enjoy Forgotten Anne.
Oh, great. I've just said I haven't got time to play all the games.
Oh, I won't get it then.
I'm fine. Sure I'll...
No, it's fine. I just won't get it.
Okay.
I might get it still.
Yeah.
We might make something different. One of us might have played Forgotten Anne by next week. Maybe both of us would have played Forgotten Anne by next week. God, we're spoiling people with this efficiency.
Yes, these.
Why don't you get your wish list on Steam? Well, there's my wish list. Sorry, everybody, I'm getting distracted there now by Forgotten Anne on Steam. what are we doing, Aaron? Games.
Well, games, we
played Tabletop Simulator this week.
We did.
I think we played two cracking games on Tabletop Simulator this week.
They're all right, yeah. It was quite late.
And my parade.
I couldn't really get my head round some of the... I couldn't think hard enough on the tactics.
Okay, Well, that's not going to help people know what we were doing.
No.
We were playing... First of all, we played Azul.
Azul, yeah, the tile game.
Which is, yeah, a tiling game, which it sounds bizarre. So basically, you are tiling a wall, is the theme of Azul. You are tiling a wall based on, I believe, the Alhambra Palace. So that the I believe it's based on a Portuguese game called Azulejos, which is the theme of which is that a Portuguese king visits the Alhambra, loves the art style, and wants that tile on his wall.
Okay.
So you've got to tile the king's wall. That's what we were doing, if you didn't realise.
Oh, okay.
So we were busy tiling a wall. And the way you tile a wall is you have... Okay, you have a board. Each player has a board. And on their board is a... How do you describe that? Like a triangle,
yes,
of slots that you can put tiles into. You can only put tiles of the same colour in each row of that triangle. The triangle is separated into five rows, one at the top, two, three, four, and five. And at the end of the round, any completed rows, you get that colour square in your wall. So you get to move that colour into your completed wall, which is on the right-hand side of your board. Each tile that's completed scores you 1 point. However, there's a combo system where if there's an adjacent tile or adjacent tiles, then you score combination points. So one tile by itself is 1 point. Two touching each other is worth 2 points. If you connect to three, it's 3 points. But you can also do that horizontally and vertically. So if you have three tiles in a row vertically and two tiles sideways, then that would be worth 5 points. So you can quickly start to get combos, and there's other sort of combos. The way you acquire tiles is there's two ways of acquiring tiles. The main method at the beginning of a round is you go to a shop and buy them. The shop is represented by circular discs with four tiles that are randomly allocated per thing. You can choose to take one colour, and you have to take all of that colour from that shop for your use that round. And then you have to put all the remaining tiles into the shop, into the street. Now, the street is a free-for-all. Anyone can take from the street, but the first person to do so incurs a negative points penalty. So there's a disincentive to get straight involved. But once that's open, it's sort of open season. And there's sort of this whole game theory where you're trying to get the points yourself, but at the same time you're doing things to try and make it harder for your opponent to complete their rows. I mean, Aaron completely stuffed me up. I had 4 out of 5 black tiles, and he just kept stealing all the black tiles. So my big row at the bottom was just blocked, and that really, really ruined my game. You played an effective offense. I don't think necessarily intentionally.
No.
But it was a very effective, non-intentional. But it was really, I really enjoyed it. It was a really nice abstract. Is this what they call a Euro game? I don't think it is.
I don't know.
I struggle with all these definitions. I don't understand why some games are European. But I really liked it. The theme is kind of irrelevant. I just really liked how simple it was to learn, but how deep it is in terms of the strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite...
How did you feel?
Yeah, the strategy, I think, can get quite deep on that thing. Especially how you block other people.
Right, I think it would evolve even more with three or four players.
Yeah, because you're looking at what colours other people have and how you can block, but you can also overload the other person.
Oh, yeah, that's a great... So I forgot to say that. Any tiles that you take that you can't fit into one of your triangle squares, you have to drop to the floor, and there's negative points that you can acquire if you fill up the floor squares.
Yeah.
I think I explained it about as clearly as you probably can.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting strategy. Because say you've got a row that you can only put reds into, and it's the one tile row. If I put all the reds onto the street, I managed to get all the reds onto the street, and there's six on there, you have to take five extra just to fill that one square.
Right.
And it's about managing what I want against what you need to make it harder for you to get what you want without paying a cost.
Yeah, I really like the depth of the game theory on this one.
But yeah, I'd say it was quite late and I just wasn't thinking very well. I'm not very good at game theory anyway.
But you say that, it got even better for you, because then we played this game called Santorini.
Yeah, the tower building game.
A tower. So Santorini is themed like the island of Santorini, so you're building buildings with blue domes. The buildings have three layers to them, and a dome on top.
Yeah.
The aim of the game is to get one of your two builders to the top floor, so on the third floor of a building, before somebody builds a dome. If somebody builds a dome on top of that third floor, then you can't ascend. You can't get to the top of that building.
Yeah.
You can only move up one floor at a time. You can move down as many floors as you want.
Yeah.
And you can move horizontally across as well, freely. Mm. You can only move to one of the sort of the eight neighbouring squares on the grid to where your player is. And I think off the top of my head, it's a 5x5 grid or a 6x6 grid. It's not huge. It's quite a tight play space.
Yeah, I think it's more than 5x5. It's probably 6x6.
But it is pretty tight, the play space. And it suddenly evolves into this whole sort of game of you're trying to block with one of your builders while building with the other builder, but at the same time you're sort of playing decoy buildings and not trying to get blocked in.
Yeah, you're trying to...
It's 5x5, I've just looked it up.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's quite. It is small.
But yeah, you're trying to... Obviously, there's an advantage to you blocking yourself in, but then you can't affect the other player if you block yourself in too much.
Right.
Because obviously, if you block one of your players in, you could then slowly creep up. If you use one of your builders to attack the other player, you can then partition the other one in a little location that other people can't get in. Because obviously, if you build up too high, then they're going to have to build to get over your wall. You can only go one square, yeah.
But you can move diagonally, which screwed me up a lot of times. Like, in fact, I think I lost the game because I lost track of the fact that you could move diagonally.
Yeah.
And
you can
Aaron
build diagonally as well.
Yeah, and Aaron sort of bamboozled me with this building.
Well, because I put one of my builders in the way so you couldn't then come in and put a dome on top.
That's it, I couldn't pass through you to get in to block you.
Yeah.
You played an absolute doozy of a game. But it was, again, it was a really nice game in terms of it was simple to learn, but
there's some
really deep strategy. It's almost sort of chess level strategy.
Yeah,
because you've got the same moveset, right? So there's that sort of symmetry.
yeah.
But there's asymmetry at the same time because the building changes the play space.
Yeah, but also you've got the issue that you could, if you do it right, you can count. So there are some set moves you can build up on that. It's quite nice because obviously with Azul, the tiles in the stores are random, so you can't build up huge amounts of strategy. You basically have some strategies you can
use. It's reactive strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, on the fly. But whereas the tower building, you have some strategies. You can have some patterns you can build up that, you know, you can use again and again. So if you get two people, you can do a sort of a windmill effect to get up to the top quickly if they're both building in a same 2x2 square. And things like that. But yeah, it depends. It gets a bit more complicated.
I really enjoyed it. Go on, Aaron, sorry, you're saying.
No, it's just, you know, you want to try and get up as quick as possible. But But yeah, you've got both builders and you have to alternate, so we'll have to have a look.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
I think it's the sort of game that, because it's relatively simple to learn, it's sort of hard not to enjoy.
Yeah, that sort of game you can just... That's a fine game for an evening of just you and your mates playing it, even if they haven't played it before.
Yeah.
Whereas Azul, there was quite a few rules to learn.
Yes, I feel like Azul, you have to play an introduction game in order to get
to understand it, and then you can start doing your strategies.
Yes.
But yeah, that the tower build, yeah, Santorini, was it
Santorini?
Santorini. Yeah, you can just start off from scratch because the base rules are very simple. So you just start straight away. You can come up with some basic strategy straight away just by looking at that. So yeah, it's good.
I like that one. In terms of other stuff you've done.
Yeah.
Have you done anything else?
My Steam doesn't seem to be loading. Not really. I've played the new update of Astroneer. I always play the updates. They've got a new update. Unfortunately, I haven't got to the new bits yet.
Okay.
Because they've extended the length of the game now. Because of research and how it's done. It's quite nice. Because they've done a new way of you building your base. And you can reorganise your base. Because before, when you built your base, that was it. It was built. You couldn't move the pieces. And if you didn't build your base correctly in the first place, you could block yourself in. It was a bit like a puzzle mechanic. That if you tried to be a bit tight on resources, you'd find out that you actually couldn't build anymore. You'd have to start a new base. But now you can reorganise your base and pack it up and move it, and there's a lot of extra stuff you can do now. But the vehicle update's just come out, so you've got new vehicles. So I want to have a go at that. They're supposed to fix vehicles. Because before the vehicles, if you had a truck and a trailer, the rubber banding and stuff on that would cause your vehicles to fly off into space or drill themselves into the ground occasionally or throw you across the map. Because there was some weird physics happening on them. But they seem to have fixed that, so that should be good, yeah? So I played a bit of that.
I've not played Astroneer.
Yeah, I've played a bit more Minecraft.
Because
I do every now and then. I did think of playing a bit more Stardew Valley. They've multiplayer on that now, so that's something I'm...
Why was it only a thought?
Because I've been playing... I've just not had the time to play any...
Okay.
Because, you know... I could play a bit more Stardew Valley, or I could play a bit more Staxel.
Right.
Because obviously Staxel is sort of Minecraft come Stardew Valley. So it's sort of a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
So if I play Staxel, I could, you know, it could combine my addiction with Stardew Valley and Minecraft all in one, and play one game, and feel like
one game to rule them all.
Yeah, one game. To simulate two games, so you know, double the efficiency.
Just sounds horrendous, Aaron.
But Staxel isn't finished yet. That's the problem with that. It's still early access. It's still quite good, but yeah, there is still a bunch of stuff. Because there's a new guy that turned up in our town.
Is there
an update? Yes.
Who turned up in our town? What's his name?
I can't remember his name, but he's the. He's a museum curator. So you know all the fossils and stuff we've been finding and didn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
Now we know what to do with them. Because that's what you do in Stardew Valley.
That's what we do.
You take them to the museum. But we'll have, obviously, in Staxel, you have to build
the museum. The museum, right?
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
So we still haven't built that Lucy's house.
No, but the requirements on Lucy's house seem... don't seem particularly stringent, since it just needs two doors and no roof.
No, it does require a roof.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it does require roof. It doesn't require walls, but it does require roof. But that's what they said in the interview. They said they're not going to prescribe how you build that house. If you want to build just the bare basics, that's up to you. If you want to try and cheat your way around it, you know, just build what looks like a big mess of blocks and just make do as that as their house, then that's the way you can do it. But they think people will want their village to look nice.
I don't want ours to look nice. No. I don't really care what happens to the plebs.
But yeah.
Do you?
It'd be nice if it looked nice, but whether I can be bothered to build a whole house. Because the problem is, building those blocks is quite expensive.
It's just time consuming. And it doesn't contribute to our farm. And frankly, I feel like for a game where we're meant to be making a farm, we don't do much in the way of farming in Staxel. It's the one thing that I've realised. There is a lot of busy work,
yeah,
but not a lot of farming work in a farming game.
Yeah. I think it's a way of getting cash, though. So that's the thing. But catching bugs seem to be cheaper, a quicker way of getting money, rather than actually doing the farming.
Right.
From what I could tell. But apparently if you get golden crops, they are worth quite a lot.
We had a golden potato.
Also, if you make that food then into food, if you make the crops into food, you get more money.
Oh.
So if you milk a cow,
mm-hmm.
You'll get some milk and you can sell that. But then if you make that into cream, you get a bit more. If you make that into butter, then you get more.
Okay.
So the more processing you do to it, the more money you'll make. So that's the...
How do we turn the milk into... Now
we need a mixing station.
We need a mixing station, you say?
Yeah, and we need the recipes. I have the recipes, I just don't have the mixing station. Just 1,000 petals for a mixing station.
Okay.
But, yes. Obviously, when we get the server back up and running, we can have another go at it. But, yeah. We'll see. We'll see how we get on with that. You've not played Stardew Valley, have you?
No, I haven't played Stardew Valley. I think I might enjoy that more because there's more farming.
Yeah, that is a lot of farming. Although, there are new versions now that you could actually have a mining-based town-based house. So there will still be farming, but you have mining as well.
What are you mining?
Iron and copper and things. You go down the mine, and you fight monsters and mine ores. You can then smelt into ingots.
Smelt.
So, furnace and smelt the stuff. But Stardew Valley is now multiplayer. So you both work on the same farm. But we'll have to see. Maybe we'll have a go. I don't know whether it's cross-platform, that's the thing.
There is a multiplayer patch coming out, isn't there?
Yes, it's out, I think.
Is it out?
I've seen some people playing it on YouTube, so I assumed it was out. But okay. I don't know whether, if I'm on the PC and you're on the Switch, whether we can play together.
I would hope that's a thing.
Yeah, I would hope so, but I wouldn't guarantee that.
I would sincerely hope that's a thing.
Yeah.
Does that make it more likely?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends how much they wanted it to be. I think is the main thing. If they wanted it to be a thing, then they'd have made it. But obviously, they've got to run their own servers and their own matching and stuff. Because how do you put your Switch friend code into your PC's Steam list, so you can join up with friends. I don't know how the matchmaking's done in. Obviously, I've not played multiplayer Stardew Valley yet, so I don't know how the matchmaking's done. We shall see if we ever get around to it.
I have to have a little look.
Yeah.
If it does, that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
I would like that very much, Lee.
Yeah, so I've played that, and I think that's about all I've played. So I've been away for two weekends and haven't really played much. So, yeah, I'm a bit light on games. But yeah, I shall be dipping back into a lot of games. I'm currently downloading Elder Scrolls Online again to have another go at that.
Is that still downloading?
Yep. It's big game.
I was hoping that'd be done. I've been playing quite a lot of mobile games.
Okay.
I have been playing. I'm just going to get my phone in front of me.
Okay.
Let me have a gander. I've been playing Splitter Critters.
I've heard about that from somewhere.
Splitter, probably from me. Splitter Critters is a puzzle game.
Okay.
Where you are tearing up the world.
Okay.
And realigning it. Right. So you have a man or a monster, whatever it is, a little alien, a blob.
Right,
a thing.
Yeah.
That wants to get from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. Right? Let's just, for simplicity's sake, let's call it that. Right?
Yeah.
And in the way is a big brick wall. Right? What you could do is you could tear up the world to slide the brick wall out of the way so that the two halves of the world meet each other and the little monster can just walk on over.
Right.
And that's the basic premise. It gets more complicated. They introduce lava and water, and the water will move and slosh about on different sides of the thing. It's a really neat little puzzle game. I haven't particularly got stuck, which is good. And I don't think it's to do with my skill. I think it is to do with just with the fact that there are only so many solutions. And some of them I've been able to sort of jam it.
Yeah.
So I've abused the physics engine to do things that probably weren't the actual solution. But it worked. It's fine. I'm enjoying it. The lack of difficulty sometimes in a mobile game is actually quite nice. Because, you know, if you're flicking around on your mobile, you don't want anything too cerebral.
No.
Which is why I've also been playing really bad chess.
Oh, okay.
Really Bad Chess is a chess game where it is a chess puzzle game built by someone called Zach Gage, or Gadge, but I'm pretty sure it's Gage, and it's a chess puzzle game where you don't have a standard selection of chess pieces.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have things such as three bishops, four bishops, a queen, four knights, you know, eight pawns, a king, and then the other team might have four rooks, two queens, and a knight.
Okay.
So it's an asymmetric chess game. So it sort of throws out the rules of chess a little bit. Which is quite cool, really.
Yeah.
At least I think it's quite cool.
Yeah. It'd be quite interesting. Yeah, maybe I'll have a look.
It changes things up a bit. That's for sure.
So it's on a smaller board, do you say?
No, standard size chessboard.
Oh, okay.
So the aim of the game is still to get checkmate.
Okay.
But the methods in which you do that are all the same, but of course with that amount of pieces the options are fairly expansive, shall we say.
Okay, so it's almost like you're doing an end game sort of scenario.
Correct.
Where you've just got some odd pieces left over.
Correct.
And you're making do with whatever you got.
Correct. But yeah, but the pieces that you've got left over are much more multitudinous than...
Yeah, than you would normally receive.
Yeah, correct.
If you have three bishops, then yeah.
Yeah, it sort of changes up the game a little bit. But it's really hard. If you are actually used to playing chess, adapting to this thing is a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
Because you don't really... Like, if you've taken two knights, you sort of switch off a bit that there'll be another knight.
Yeah.
And suddenly another knight comes charging out of left field, and you just... It takes a bit of getting used to. I'm quite enjoying it, though. It's got a ranked mode. It does throw up adverts, but it's a free game. Like, I can't complain too much about that.
Is there a paid version?
I believe you can pay to unlock. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let me get it open. Yes, you can unlock full features for $2.99. That gives you knight colours, which I'm assuming is just inverse.
Yeah.
Lost pieces. I don't know what that is. 100 extra undos. So you can undo your turn.
Yeah.
It gives you 100 of those free, I think. It gave you quite a lot free. No banner ads and a 1v1 mode.
Okay.
An extra 100 undos costs 99p.
Okay.
But you can get 5 undos for watching a video.
Right. Okay.
So I guess you could just watch lots of videos. Like, if you watch 20 videos, you'd then get 100 undos.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't force you into doing anything. The ads are a bit annoying, but not terrible.
But yeah, but obviously if you choose to pay for it, then you can get rid of the ads. $2.99 for a game, you know, it's not a horrendous price.
No, especially not the one that's technically limitless.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really, really does take a bit of getting used to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty good though. I'd recommend it I'd recommend it to people who don't play chess.
Okay.
It's very difficult if you're used to chess, because you're used to certain moves and certain theories that just don't hold any water the moment there's an extra bishop on the board.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing on my phone. I don't think there's anything else on my phone. Let me have a quick flick through.
I dabble into Line every now and then, but... Yeah.
What's Line?
That's... you basically get a grid of symbols, and you've got to basically draw a line through all the symbols. So you have you start off with a bunch of triangles, and you've basically got to draw a line that goes through all the triangles once.
And then, okay. Then you I quite like that sort of thing.
Then you have a bunch of triangles and a bunch of squares, and you've got to draw a line that goes through all the triangle and a line that goes through all the squares. And then you have the same, but with a piece that can be both.
Right.
And then you'll have the same, but with a piece that needs two lines to go through it. So it needs to have... You need to go through it twice, and things like that. It's quite nice. I'm fairly sure that was free. And it's on a Steam library as well.
Is it on mobile? I assume it's on mobile.
Yeah. That's how I normally play it, on my Android. But it's on Steam as well.
Is it called Line or Lines?
L-Y-N-E.
L-Y-N-E.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's on iOS, but it is on Android.
Almost like Lin.
Yeah.
Oh, $2.99.
Is it $2.99, is it?
Yeah. Oh, you say it's on Steam?
Yes, it's on our Steam
library. Not in the market for a game at the moment on iOS, so I'm not going to be buying anything else, but I will play our Steam library copy for a bit.
Yeah. It's worth a little look. It's definitely designed for touch, but then again, I've got it on my tablet.
Right, how is your sort of Steam tableting thing going?
Good, because the new Surface, because I've got Surface Pro now.
Yes. Generation one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It plays Elite okay. It's not great. If I've turned all the settings down, it plays Elite. Plays Minecraft fine. You know, so it plays some games okay. And I can do all the normal stuff on it. I've got a touch cover and a Bluetooth mouse, and it's fine. I haven't had any problems with it. It's 128 gig and then 128 gig SD card.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put a bigger SD card in, but they're quite expensive when you go above 128 at the moment. Mm. So, I haven't bothered. But yeah, it's doing alright. Yeah, it gets a bit hot though. That's the only thing.
They do. I mean, it's like any other sort of high-powered laptop. They do tend to get a wee bit on the warm side.
The complaint is that sometimes it gets so hot that it actually causes a problem. It can cause it
really?
To fail. Yes, I've seen some complaints that it got so hot.
We haven't
hot
had that with the Pro 3. We've got the Pro 3.
Okay. Well, I've not had it with the Pro 1, and I've played quite a bit of Minecraft, and that's hitting it quite heavy, because obviously
right.
I'm playing the Java version of it, so it's not optimized great, so it is hitting it quite hard. So yeah, it seems to be playing fine. I was hoping that it didn't have a Xbox control wireless built in, but it doesn't seem to have. So I might at some point see about getting a new Xbox One controller, because they have Bluetooth in the new ones. The old ones you have to use a dongle. Obviously I've got a dongle because
yes.
It came with the Oculus.
Yes,
but
the new ones I think also have
Bluetooth.
The what?
They have Bluetooth in them.
They have Bluetooth. I think they've got the textured back as well, don't they?
Possibly, yeah.
I think it's easier to grip. I think they've got a rubberized back.
Oh, okay.
So there are some differences with the new controllers.
I
think they've got a 3.5 headset jack at the front. You could use your PlayStation controller.
I could use PlayStation, yeah, it comes to it.
Well, you could just use the dongle.
It's a big dongle to have sticking out the side of the tablet.
Aaron, don't talk about the size of your dongle.
And if I catch it, it'll snap. It's fine on a PC because you're not moving that
about. What
about
a Steam controller?
I could use a Steam controller. Although that's got a dongle too, hasn't it?
But very small dongle.
It is. Is it a lot smaller?
It doesn't need to compensate for anything.
Yeah. It's so weird that the Steam controller isn't Bluetooth.
The Steam controller is Bluetooth.
Is it?
I'm sure that dongle's just a Bluetooth controller, yeah.
Okay, if it's Bluetooth,
I think the Steam controller is Bluetooth. Is the Steam controller Bluetooth? Let me, breaking news here on the show.
I didn't think it was.
Is the very Bluetooth? Yes, it is.
Okay. So
Valve's Steam controller gains Bluetooth LE support ahead of Steam Link app launch 5 hours ago.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's news that we should talk about.
Oh, the phone.
The phones are going to get Steam.
Yep. Well, you've got the Steam app already for you.
Yeah, but they're going to get Steam Link.
Yeah, it's going to have Steam Link in them built in.
Which is going to let you stream from Steam to any iOS or Android device.
Yes. And, obviously, if Steam Link has Bluetooth, you can Bluetooth link your Steam controller.
Yes. Yeah, and you could... There are docks available, I've seen online, where you can mount your phone into the thing. What I'm really hoping, though, is that it's going to have touch-to-mouse transfer, which means that you can play sort of Civ 6
okay.
fully
on
an iPad or Endless Space 2, which, again, it's I'm not talking about it on the show anymore, but it's something that's still occupying my time.
Yeah.
It's something that would transfer really, really well.
Yeah, it might be a bit small on a phone, but a tablet would be great. Play Civ 6 on a phone might be a bit tiny.
But yeah, I think it would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
I think it would work really well. I haven't really been doing anything else. I don't think there's any other news to cover.
I don't think there is. I'm trying to tidy up the website and add some more features, because I've noticed that the YouTube videos are well out of date, because they're all put on there manually. I didn't realise. I thought they were automatically updated. So I'm adding an automatic update to the website, so you'll be able to see all of our latest video content on there.
That sounds spangly.
That's fine. But yeah. And I am looking at getting us an email address.
Ooh.
Our own email server. So we'll
have as opposed to running it off Hotmail.
Yes. So you'll be able to email us at theinfinitelucas.com.
Sounds good to me.
But yes, that's coming up. That's just some admin. But yeah. I think that's about it. Obviously, if anyone has any games they want to recommend that are quite short, we can fit in, and let us know.
Sure, there's other bits that we could do. Right, everybody. That brings us to the end of the show. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
I am at Flysheet. The entire show is at The Loopcasters. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com, although we may be getting a new spanking email address, courtesy of Aaron's cleverness. And until then, see you then.
See you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.